So you might have heard the story of a very wealthy father who wanted his son to learn to appreciate his many luxuries. So the father got the idea that he and the son could spend a few days on a farm where a family considered to be very poor lived, and maybe that would teach his son what he wanted to teach him. So they spent several days and nights on the farm, and eventually it was time to go home, and they were driving home, and the father looked at his son and he said, "Son, did you really have time to see how those poor people live?" And the son said, "Well, yes, Dad, I did. I realized that we have one dog and they have four. We have a fountain that goes out to the garden. They have a creek that goes on forever and ever. We have a gate. We have walls around our community to our house to protect us. And they have a big welcome sign on the door. We buy our food and they grow theirs. We have servants to serve us, and they serve others. You know, Dad, I so appreciate you taking me to see what it really looks like to be rich." It's a great story. It's a great story. So today, as you know, we're starting a new series based on the book, The Art of Abundance, 10 Rules for a Prosperous Life by Dennis Merritt Jones. There are plenty of books in the bookstore if you'd like to buy one. The author says that what the world needs is a new perspective regarding what gives happiness and meaning to life. And no, it's not money, and it's not things, it's not more stuff. It is something less tangible, but much more important. And in the author's words, he says, "We all essentially want the same thing: freedom, inner peace, and a life filled with purpose and meaning. The problem is that most people don't know where to look for such a life. This book will help readers open their eyes to the limitless abundance that lies waiting just beyond their current belief system. And the thesis of the whole book is that we can create a life of prosperity, a life worth living, through assessing a principle that is as old as the universe itself, and it is called the principle of abundance, or the abundance principle. Now, the thing is, in order to achieve this principle, we do not have to earn anything. We simply have to learn to accept the blessings of an abundant life. To make each rule as easy as possible, in order for us to access this prosperity in every aspect of our being, the author comes up with 10 principles, 10 rules, he calls, to live an abundant life. And he breaks each rule down into parts. And the parts are the premise, the problem, the principle, the practice, and the payoff. So that makes, we can expect that structure through the whole book. It makes it kind of easy to navigate it. So rule number one is be one with life. Be one with life. And in order to help us really make that connection, Jones starts the chapter with one of my favorite poems by Rumi, and it goes like this: "The source is within you, and this world is springing up from it. The source is full, and its waters are ever flowing. Do not grieve, drink your fill. Don't ever think it will run dry, this endless ocean." And so our first premise is, as the awareness of your oneness with the universe deepens, you will begin to see through new eyes. Everywhere you look, you will find the principle of abundance operating. And Jones shares a parable. It's a parable about some fish who live in the shallow, warm waters of a secluded lagoon, protected from the crashing waves of the ocean by a coral reef. Now, most of the fish spend their entire lives there in that little secluded place because they fear the dangers beyond their own reef. And he says, the author says, that most of us also have spent a majority of our lives swimming in circles of sameness. I love that line. Swimming in circles of sameness. The Great Barrier Reef is a metaphor for our consciousness, the totality of our conscious and unconscious minds and beliefs warehoused in our souls from the day we were born, all that we've collected. And Jones writes, the source of one's good is the universe. Now just know, I know some of you bought the book and have already read the first three chapters, so every time he uses the word universe, it is capitalized, and like Eric Butterworth, it's a synonym for God, godness, divine mind, all that is. And so what he's saying is the source of one's good is the universe in which we live, an infinite well of more than enough that knows nothing about lack or limitation. It is the nature of the universe to bestow abundance on all forms of life, not just to survive, but to thrive. Through the conscious use of our minds, we can intentionally co-mingle with the source of our good. So that sounds great. What's the problem? Well, the problem is that it's the illusion that you are separate from the source of your abundance that gives birth to a belief in not enough. And here, our author quotes one of my favorite New Thought writers and ministers, Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith, who said, "There is a lie that acts like a virus within the minds of all humanity, and that lie is there's not enough to go around. The truth is that there is more than enough to go around, more than enough creative ideas, more than enough love, more than enough power, and more than enough peace." Yet, Jones says, we have fallen victim to the legend of duality, the spoken and unspoken stories and beliefs that have been handed down through generations that draw their energy from one massive fear, the fear of not enough. Not enough money, not enough time, not enough food, respect, land, oil, power, and the most insidious of all the not enoughs, the very worst one, is I am not good enough. I am not strong enough, not rich enough, smart enough, or healthy enough, not good enough. In fact, there's a phobia called aeulophobia, which is the recognized psychological fear of imperfection, of not being enough. And the source of that fear is that we think we are separate from our source. That's what causes us to stay stuck in our little lagoons, our metaphoric safe little lagoons, swimming around in circles, believing in lack, thinking we have to struggle to get everything we want, and thinking that the material world is the source of our good. And we look to that material world to fill the hole of not good enough. We mistakenly believe that our abundance comes from our jobs, our children, the economy, the lottery, fill in the blank. And we fear exploring the possibilities of new beliefs just as surely as those fish feared leaving the safe lagoon. So here's the compelling question. Where in your life is fear creating a sense of separation from your source? While it's virtually impossible to really be separated from our source, we're always one with God, it is possible to believe that we are separated, and that makes all the difference. We have to be willing to transcend that belief that there is not enough, in order to realize we are born in the pure potential of abundance that already exists. It is already ours. So the principle is, with practice, living in alignment with the unseen principle of abundance will become as natural for us as water is for fish. Joan says, in the search for prosperity, we have overlooked our greatest channel for good, namely our own true essence, our oneness, our own true being as part of the infinite, abundant universe. The author reminds us, that a sparkling lake does not support just the large, privileged yachts and not the small canoes and kayaks. It supports all of the boats, and such is the principle of abundance. It is omnipresent, equally available to every one of us. However, and here's the big however, the size of our vessel is another metaphor for our consciousness. And the larger our boat of consciousness is, think about it, the more deeply it would sit in the lake, therefore having access to more of the water. So unlimited abundance is absolutely our right. Actually, it's our birthright. Manifesting abundance is a choice offered to us with every breath we take, based on the depth of our understanding of the first rule, be one with life. Throughout the book now, Jones makes a distinction. I think we use these words interchangeably, but Jones makes a distinction between abundance and prosperity. He says, abundance is, as a universal principle, it is unlimited potential, the unseen essence of more than enough of everything. Now, you may have noticed in two of the hymns we've already sung today, there was another word, and that word was substance. Charles Fillmore, Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore, used the word substance, I think it pretty much in what Jones means by abundance. And that is, as defined by Charles, the divine idea underlying all things, omnipresent living energy out of which all is made. So that's what abundance or substance is. Prosperity, on the other hand, is the seen outward demonstration of what has been conceived. And so what that really means is a sense of oneness with the principle of abundance will always precede a demonstration of true prosperity. And the thing is, the problem is, sometimes we pursue the end, we pursue the prosperity, and we forget about the means. We forget about all this abundance that really is already ours. So, the practice. As a universal principle, abundance is omnipresent and therefore available to us every moment of the day. The challenge, we've already said, is that we are not always present and available to abundance. So the practice is focused on something we hear a lot about these days, but also it's a practice that has been taught since antiquity, and that is mindfulness. Jones defines it as remembering to remember that the secret to life is always waiting for us to show up so that it can bestow its opulence in the form of gifts we seldom even think of as abundance. He's talking about things like these intangible goods that we take for granted, like we don't even have to ask for them, like our next breath, the beating of our heart, the morning sunrise. When we mindfully become present to the moment, we are able to see the gifts, embrace them, appreciate them, and use them more fully. Just know that mindful living is a lifestyle. There are some practices in the book for mindfulness, but it's a lifestyle. It can be practiced anytime, any place. And the big payoff for principle number one is summarized in one word, freedom. Freedom. Living a prosperous life means being established in a belief that affirms there is more than enough of whatever creates a sense of freedom in your life. And that's an individual thing for each of us to explore. What is freedom? What does freedom mean to me? By accessing this limitless abundance of the universe that operates solely on this principle of more than enough, you release the world from being responsible for your own happiness. As you discover that you are one with the universe, you know the great ocean of abundance is calling you, and then you learn how to convert that infinite potential into form. The question is, does the great ocean of abundance have your attention? That's the question he asks in the book. So this takes us now into principle number two. And principle number two is, be aware you are living in an expanding universe. The premise is the universe is perpetually pushing out. Its mandate is to create impersonally through you on the level you are able to personalize this principle. So he tells a story about a disciple who comes to his guru and says to him, "Give me a word of wisdom." But it happened to be the guru's day of silence. So the guru said to the young man, or didn't say anything to the young man, he took a notebook and he wrote his answer down, and his answer was awareness. Well, the disciple looked at it and said, "Could you say more about that?" So he took a second page of his notebook and he wrote down awareness, awareness, awareness. So then the disciple's getting frustrated. He goes, "I don't get it. I don't understand. What does that mean?" And the guru wrote on the third page, "Awareness, awareness, awareness means awareness." So Dennis Jones says, this little story is designed to tell us that we absolutely sometimes fail to oversimplify our lives. We make our lives too complicated. Mindfulness keeps us from overcomplicating things. Am I the only one who does that? My husband always says, "I can make anything complicated. I'm good at it." Mindfulness brings us to the present moment, but it is awareness that is the laser light that focuses on what is happening at the moment. Being aware that we live in this living, expanding universe that is just expanding beyond the speed of light, and that we are part of that creative process, puts us in direct connection to the prosperity we seek. Basic physics tells us that everything is energy, and being mindfully present in the moment with awareness, awareness, awareness makes us energy converters. This is where that old saying, thoughts are things, comes in. Everything is first created in mind, and then we draw ourselves in the outer world to our focus. That's principle number three in unity. It's an inside-out process. And Jones says, this principle means we must increase our awareness that we are living, breathing conduits through which this creative process, this law of expansion, happens every single moment. So the question is, what are we creating? Are we creating an abundance of more than enough, or are we creating an abundance of not enough? With a true belief in our oneness with all that is, we become aware that scarcity is actually an illusion. And we are advised to get out of the scarcity trap. Give ourselves the freedom to live the truth of abundance instead of the lie of scarcity. Rule number two calls us to release our old error thinking about prosperity. By being fully present in the moment, we can embrace the fact that the universe is continually expanding, and we are part of that amazing expansion. So I think the problem for this one is pretty obvious. The problem is, too often we focus our attention, it's misplaced, glued to what we believe is missing, which in turn directs the unbiased law of attention to create more of the same. The author says, from the moment we arise in the morning until our heads hit our pillows at night, most of us conduct our lives on autopilot. Habit energy kicks in and we go a bit unconscious, focusing on the lack, the struggle, the daily grind, or on just getting by. Here Jones quotes Sarah Ban Breathneck, who, remember, wrote the Simple Abundance books. I loved all those books. She says, both abundance and lack exist simultaneously as parallel realities. It is always our conscious choice which garden we tend. When we choose not to focus on what's missing from our lives, double negatives, but follow me, okay? When we choose not to focus on what's missing from our lives, but we are grateful for the abundance that is present, and that can be anything. It can be something small. It can be love, health, family, friends, the joys of nature. When we focus on that, the wasteland of illusion fades away, and we experience heaven on earth. So the principle is the universe is in love with multiplicity, meaning that through the law of expansion, there's a natural impulse to replicate, duplicate, and infinitely expand upon any given idea or premise that is firmly established in the proper growth medium. Jones says there's no more exquisite example of this principle than in Mother Nature, where everything in the natural world has the potential to produce and grow. And an intelligence is at work within the seed and within the soil that knows how to create more of itself from within itself. This intelligence exists in every living being, including humankind. Just as with the soil, our minds are receptive and willing to grow any thought seed we nurture with our intention and our attention. Awareness of the law is only the first step. Decidedly putting that law to work is what follows. Well, darn, we have to work, right? We have to practice. Jones says, the lingering question is, are you ready to make a clear-minded decision to align with and consciously use the principle of expansion in your life today? Emerson wrote, once you make a decision, the universe conspires to make it happen. And of course, awareness is important, but it's only the first step. We must, as I said, put it all into practice. And the practice for this law is, or this rule is, taking time to mindfully align with the law of expansion affirms that you are aware of the infinite possibilities inherent within and that they are fully available for you to use. Norman Vincent Peale wrote, the more you lose yourself in something bigger than yourself, the more energy you will have. And Jones asks, what do you consider bigger than yourself? And what would losing yourself in something bigger look like? What would it look like in your life? A place to begin, maybe, would be nature, where we could spend time outside becoming silent observers of the transformation of energy and action. We might, for example, watch the falling rain and think of it not only seeping into the soil, but think of it collecting in streams and mighty rivers, maybe even being used for power along the way before eventually it evaporates and once again becomes rain. We can also personalize that we humans are always converting energy from one form to another. For example, think about the food you ate for breakfast this morning being converted to the energy that powered your body to get here. And if it were workday, that energy would power you to maybe exchange it for a paycheck, converted to another form of energy that we call money, right? Maybe converted to another form of energy that we call groceries, maybe the rent or mortgage payment, and so on and so on. As we repeat and think about and reflect upon these mindful exercises, we will begin to feel more at one with the universe that is expanding in a manner that is using us as a conduit through which abundance flows. And that's really important. So here's the payoff. The universe is continually conspiring for your good, when you are available to consciously participate in the process. Being established in the awareness that we are wonderfully immersed in an infinite universe helps us manifest abundance in every area of our lives. We are going to build on these. First two principles are kind of deep and not quite as specific as the following one, so we're going to build on them as the book unfolds. But for now, just know that through oneness of life, expansion, and supply with all that is, the gift of abundance is available to every single one of us. If we are aware and have our eyes to see how the universe operates, then we can claim our birthright and embrace our inherent wholeness. So as you leave the sanctuary today, the kids will be out there with two little baskets, and I'd like you to select from the basket an abundance card and take it home with you. And maybe this week you can use it to reflect and think about our subject of abundance. The thing is, awareness, awareness, awareness is the rule of the day. And all of us can use awareness, awareness to create more prosperity in our lives. And so it is. So let's take a moment now to just affirm the truth, the great truth about our God, divine mind, that makes all this possible. And we can do this together. For those of you here for the first time, this is printed in your bulletin. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.